That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. That will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. We are the Wranglers coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Here we are wrapping up November of 2019. It is November 30th, the last day of the calendar month of November, but we do welcome you here. It's a cold and blustery morning where we're at, and I think that most of the country is that way, but we've got a full crew this morning. We're going to bring them on and we'll just spread out the good mornings. Well, Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
We say good morning to our brother Tim over in, what was it you said earlier, Tim? Wet and icy and sloppy Nebraska.
Good morning.
Kind of that time of the year, I guess. And good morning, John. How you doing?
That is. Morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us. The program is Coffee with the Wranglers. We are the Wranglers. We've got our coffee. We've got our Bibles. We're broadcasting to you live from just outside of Laramie, Wyoming, and where it is still fall, but it looks like winter is coming in pretty hard. Been some good record snowfall here as well as down in Colorado and all over the Midwest. Saw records cold in San Francisco. Maybe we'll talk about that in a little bit. But we do welcome you here to join us and for fellowship and where the topic goes, who knows. But we'll have the phone lines open up in a little bit. And Brother John, would you open us up in prayer, sir?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day and this time that you've set aside for your people to come together. And our goal is to encourage one another to love and good deeds, just as your word says. Father, we ask that you would guide and direct us, give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment as to what it is that's important for your people to understand. But much more than that, Lord, as this year of our Lord 2019 draws to an end, Father, I ask that you would help us figure out what it is that we need to do to serve you better, Lord. Father, to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Father, to share the gospel with others. I thank you for the opportunities that you've given me just over this past week, Lord. Answered prayer that send your ministering angels out ahead to prepare those people's hearts and minds and souls that you want us to reach, Lord, with the truth of the gospel. Father, we thank you for the answer to prayer regarding the things that were done in the dark being brought to the light. It's almost amazing to see some of the stories that are being written, some of the things that are being said on all different types of media. The truth from even 50 years ago, the things that you revealed to our pastor, you revealed to us, and most people considered conspiracy theories, Father. Now, the people are starting to wonder, they're starting to understand that, wow, what's going on in this world today? And Lord, we know that's your hand, that's the answer to prayer. Father, we continue to pray as the enemy makes their plans and in the background and tries to put the final nail in the coffin, so to speak, on Christianity. Lord, they think that they have this thing won, but we know that your word is clear. They make their plans, but you sit in the heavens and you laugh and you scoff at them. And Father, we do the same. But Lord, we do ask that you would continue to send confusion into the camp of the enemy, that they would turn upon one another and devour one another. Father, we pray for righteous justice. We're starting to see that, Lord, but we know there are many things that are coming to fruition right now, things that the enemy would do anything to keep from coming to the light. And Lord, we know that greater is he that is for us than all those that are against us, and that no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. Father, we also know that not many of us should become teachers as we will in her strict judgment. We know that that's tied to the fear of the Lord, and that if you take a position of authority of teaching the Word of God, then you fall into that realm. Lord, I pray once again that the fear of the Lord will come upon your people, those that can come to repentance. Father, that they would also understand that it's better to have a millstone around their neck and cast into a deep sea than to cause one of their little ones to stumble. There's so many false teachers out there, Lord, and they're pretty good at deceiving the people. But Lord, I ask, even in this 11th hour, that you would remove the scales from their eyes and stop their ears, and that they'd be able to hear and see the truth. And when they do, they fall upon their face and cry out, and they ask for forgiveness. Father, we know that there's no greater weapon, offensively or defensively, than the blood of Jesus. The precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask that you would wash us in that blood, Father, that you protect us, our family, and all that you blessed us with, Lord. As this year draws to an end, help us to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, we say good morning to the remnant that are out there that are joining us. And we'll have the phone lines open this morning. And that phone number, if you want to call in to be on the program, 307-745-5913. And we'll take your call. Lots going on. Boy, I know, like I mentioned earlier, the leftists, they talk about this global warming. They teach classes in global warming, and they complain if news outlets don't talk about global warming as we set record colds in the fall, record snowfalls in the fall, not the winter, but in the fall. Saw that this morning, record cold in San Francisco, you know, where it's normally, 72 degrees all the time. So even there, in their bastion of filth, you might say, the very, you know, the things that that the ungodly put forth, nature itself just shows it wrong. And I just thought that was pretty interesting that we see.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they call it climate change now, because the global warming didn't quite fit their narrative, and climate change can fit just about any narrative. I mean, if the weather changes, then it's climate change. But I've been around 55 years. I can pretty much remember the weather changing quite a bit. So.
Yes. Amen to that.
Yeah, and it's funny, obviously, living in Colorado, you look around and you talk about people, you know, we get snow coming in and everybody acts like it's something crazy and something out of this world. And it's, you know, I mean, I was just laughing about it because we got a snowstorm, and yeah, it was a decent snowstorm, but it shut the town down. And, you know, this used to be common occurrence. It used to be in Colorado, you'd get snow, you know, you'd get snow at the beginning of winter, and you'd had snow all winter long. I mean, that's just the way it was, you know, and we haven't had that happen for a couple of years now, but, you know, it was a common occurrence, and it was normal.
Exactly. Well, and I remember, you know, they're talking about this being a solar minimum year, which just basically means that the sun's at a different angle, and it's going to be a cooler winter. And so we may have a longer winter, or it'll definitely be different. It'll be changed, I mean, just because of the way those things work. And it's, you know, God guaranteed us in the Bible that the seasons would continue until the end, that there would be, you know, summer and rain in the spring and winter and snow in the winter and the fall time or harvest time. And I think despite their best efforts at changing all that and undoing it, they may have some effects on it, but it won't affect God's rules or the way God set that up. So, and I'm like Jason, I can remember snowstorms as and John as a kid that were horrific, you know. So, I haven't seen those for a while. But, anyways, it's definitely different.
Yeah, kind of neat to see it again. I mean, like you said, I can remember 3-4 foot snowfalls, you know, and that will shut down the town, but 2 feet of snow anymore. I don't know what the deal is. Apparently, we're not paying enough taxes for snow plowing or something these days either, because the roads are atrocious, really. It's
we've had that problem here, too, yet.
You pretty much got to have four-wheel drive to get anywhere. I mean, maybe the main roads might be plowed, but the side roads are ridiculous. And even the main roads, they weren't even plowing until there's probably 6 inches. And then you got these people that have moved here from Texas and California and stuff. There's people driving around with their hazards on because they're freaking out about a little bit of snow. And, boy, you talk about causing havoc.
We were just talking about that.
They shouldn't even be on the road. And then you get people, well, and I think is what's going on with them not running the snow plows. I've noticed the same thing, and it's been, you know, kind of the talk of the town. I mean, you know, it used to be you had a half a quarter of an inch of snow, and the snow plows were out running, and you're thinking, you know, why are they wasting the money? Well, now you get 2 foot of snow, and they're not running. Well, you know, they don't want people out on the roads, and they're trying to get people, especially the rural areas. They want to keep those areas not plowed because it fits in with Agenda 21. Get them people into towns and apartments where they can, you know, they're out there shoveling the sidewalks and the bike trails and, you know, garbage like that. And that's what they want.
Either that or it's a conspiracy of the body shops.
Yeah.
But no, that makes sense. Having owned a body shop, that was always a good time of year for the body shop was when we hit snowstorms. But what you said makes total sense. And you know what? There'll be a lot of people who will fall for that, too. They're like, well, I can't get around in the winter, so I'm going to move to town and use public transportation. But you're right. The cities and the bike paths and all that, those things are plowed like brand new, you know. I'm surprised they don't install hot water heat on some of these trails and stuff just to make sure.
Well, don't give them any ideas.
Yeah.
So that's where all the snowplow money from the taxes, quote unquote, are going.
No, I mean, and you look at, there's a lot of things going on in the country right now. I mean, and you know, it just, the more you look at things, the more you see how crazy things are. And you know, I was looking at, somebody was talking to me this week about this biohacking, and I don't know if anybody has looked into this biohacking, but it's basically people that are you can buy an do it at home kit for biohacking, and you can, you basically is what they're doing all different kinds of protocols, and it's basically from taking a sample of your DNA and hooking it up to a computer and trying to change it and then injecting it back into yourself. And you know, it was one of the interesting things is you know, people are doing things that they said that you could, you know, that you had to be so technology advanced to be able to do, and they never thought that somebody could do it at their on themselves or at their home. And now they've got kids that are basically biohacked DNA and have, you know, produced a dog in their garage, you know, cloned a dog in a garage. You know, stuff that, you know, is just basically unheard of. And now it's gotten big as far as people are, you know, using it on blood, and basically they want to make themselves more fit. If they want to, you know, lose weight, if they want to have more muscles here or more muscles there, you know, they're doing this biohacking. And it just, you know, to me, it reminds me of, you know, when we read, like, the Book of Enoch, and it talks about the splicing, the cutting and splicing of trees. And I've thought for a long time that when it talks about there's a chapter in there, I can't remember exactly where it is, but it reminded me of cutting and splicing DNA. And I think that was what they were trying to say in the Book of Enoch, is when they were manipulating DNA. And we see so much of that now, and it's getting to be such a common thing. And, you know, one of the things that's happening is, you know, they're trying to figure out, okay, should we regulate it, and do we need to put laws in place on, you know, how do we regulate this? Well, you know, I mean, it's, you know, basically is Big Pharma that wants to keep it away, but at the same time, you know, it's something that people don't need to be playing with. I mean, you start playing with that, is, in my opinion, you're playing God. And you are, you know, treading on dangerous ground, and that's a dangerous place to be in. They're starting to put biohacking into the same category as fasting, you know, basically, because when you fast, and if you fast, and if you take these supplements, you can technically reprogram your DNA. So they're trying to put it into the same category, and it's not the same category at all.
Wow. Well, and I remember
people that are using, they're implanting computer chips and you know, things like that into themselves that, you know, reprogram DNA, and, you know, having, you know, somewhat what they're saying is success, but, you know, we don't know how the effects are going to be long term.
It's just wild. It reminds me of that, you know, where the Bible says, thinking themselves wise, they became as fools. We've got people who can't function on a day-to-day level, like we were just talking about. They're unable to operate a motor vehicle in a quarter inch of snow without their four-ways on, or figure out how to, the things that people can't figure out how to get done anymore that are what I consider common sense items. But they can run CRISPR and do gene editing in their garage. You know, I mean, it's like, yeah. So we're seeing a sad day in our country when people can't live day to day, but they can figure out some of these other things that are ungodly and wrong. And I remember hearing, and I can't put my finger right on it, but what they were talking about before Noah's flood, about the fact that there was a lot of suspected gene editing going on and all that, and if God hadn't destroyed that, there would be nothing left on Earth, you know, nothing around. And I think it ties in with that Enoch note that we were talking about, Jason. But it's you can't do that kind of stuff. And God doesn't make junk to begin with, so whatever you are, there's a purpose for it, you know. And I think that it's just another way that the enemy dishonors God.
Well, it's that double-edged sword of technology, right?
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, that's what they're doing. They're trying to play God. I mean, and just like you guys were talking about in the Book of Enoch and in the Bible, that's where God will draw the line. You know, it's the times, the days of Noah. Tim, you sent something out like that on Thanksgiving, basically. And each day, but, you know, look at how exponentially these things are happening. I mean, it used to be they would talk about, oh, well, scientists are thinking about cloning a sheep or something like that. But, you know, it's in the news almost every day that they're messing with the DNA. I didn't really realize it was as bad as it is where, you know, even miners are messing around with this stuff in their garage. There's probably software programs that help you do it nowadays, but yeah, it's a dangerous place to be for sure.
Yeah, this CRISPR gene editing, basically they call it gene editing, and it's just basically a word processor, and you can go in there and you upload what your DNA is, and then you start playing around with it. And, you know, the services are already available where, you know, if you want to have a kid, you can go in and you can tell them, you know, what color hair you want them to have, what gender you want it to be, what color their eyes are supposed to be, you know, what you want them to excel in, what, you know, you want them to be an athlete. And basically they'll go in and they'll write a program and edit the DNA. And,
well, wait a minute.
Sounds like a science fiction movie to me.
Yeah, but you just crossed the line. You said they'll determine what gender they are. Those children have to determine their own gender when they get to a certain age. You can't determine that anymore.
Well, I'm saying that they'll sex it. They'll sex it so it's going to come out either a male or a female.
I know. I'm just saying. That's how psychotic it's become.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah. It's wild.
Wonder if they give you 600 choices when you're going to pick out a gender.
Wow. Yeah, that whole thing is just, it leaves you speechless. It's utterly the most, and that's another slap in the face against God where it says male and female created he them. And it's like, well, if God did male and female, we'll do 600 other ones. You know, we can beat that. So, but they can't. So, what a slap. Or an attempted, you know. That's the other thing is you can't one-up God. It's just, but they think they can.
Right, they continue to try, and that, like you guys had mentioned, you know, back in the days of Noah, what is it the Word tells us? Their hearts were evil continuously. They just continued to do more and more, and like you said, John, it's happening exponentially. It's not just, oh, it happens, and they talk about it for 6 months or a year, and then they work on setting it up. No, they just put it out, and it is like that. The world is running towards destruction just as hard and fast as it can, to where, you know, anything goes. And from the multiple transgenderisms to this, you know, gene editing. You know, some kid in his closet. It reminded me, because I was oblivious to that. It reminded me when you were talking about that, Jason, how Pastor used to teach, and I know you guys remember it, how the enemy has a rule of warfare, and they have to tell us what they're doing, and they would present it to us in movies, in books, and they've done that in their movies. And in their books and TV shows and that type stuff of gene splicing and you know, the mutants in some of the movie series and things like that, and see, they put that out to where it looks appealing to these uneducated, stupid, ungodly generations that we have today that have been raised. Third, fourth generation now, some, without God in the home, without God in the school, without God in the workplace. And so, you know, it looks good to them. So then they get an opportunity. Oh, CRISPR, I can be like the mutants, or I can. It is ridiculous. It's ungodly. And it's it comes from the enemy, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Who has been trying to? I liked your comment, Tim. to one up God. That's how you know who's doing this, is by their fruits, and that's exactly who is behind this. He's been trying to one up God from the beginning, and as he lies to everyone else and presents these genetic improvements, maybe is the way that they're presented. But it's death and destruction, and it is just running faster and faster toward those days of Noah, where they were giving and taking in marriage, but their hearts were evil continuously.
One of the slogans that one of the companies, and there's a lot of companies that are out there that are doing this, that are offering services or software, but one of the big ones, their motto is a crack in creation, gene editing, and the unthinkable power to control evolution. And that just doesn't remind you of something that's spewed up out of the pits of hell, and I don't know what is.
Wow. Yeah, no kidding. Oh, yeah. Well, it all ties back into this whole, I think that, you know, the ultimate goal of Satan is the destruction of God's creation. We all know that. It's apparent throughout biblical history and even in what we see going on around us today. But, you know, I just read some stuff here this week about the fact that the new word is decarbonize. I don't know if you guys seen that or not, but it ties back into Agenda 21 and the Georgia Guidestones and everything else. And basically, when these we hang the word on them liberal a lot of times, but I think the right word is satanic individuals. I mean, they're committed to satanic objectives, but they're using this word decarbonize, and basically, since human beings are carbon life form, what they want to do is destroy the population. And that's what CRISPR's about. Ultimately, it will destroy the population or render those people inert. They've already mostly, seems to me, been rendered inert mentally. And they had to be inert spiritually before that happened. So now it's just a matter of getting rid of the words they like to use, useless eaters or useless, you know, whatever, to their form of thought. And another thing that ties into it is one of the Australian universities just did a big study, or finished one up, and it was interesting. And basically, it was the effects of Prozac on fish. You know, and there's so much Prozac in the water. I mean, so what, you don't have to get fish Prozac? No. There's so much Prozac in the water from people taking it, that, you know, it's coming out in the sewer. It's coming out in the wastewater. And the fish are being, you know, subject to it, and, it's getting into them. And as a result of that, it's altering the behavior of fish. And originally, their thought was, well, it doesn't change the one thing that I thought was really interesting in there was it didn't alter the behavior of a single fish. They could hit them with Prozac, and they didn't really notice any difference. But what it did do, and they hadn't really ever checked that out before, was in a group setting, it did all kinds of things that they had no idea. It changed all kinds of things, and, the doctor who did it said the results are significant because they suggest that behavioral tests and social isolation may not accurately predict the environmental risk of chemical pollutants for group living species. And I was thinking about the fact that we have all these mass shootings with all these drugs, and, you know, their studies basically say, well, it helps with depression, or it helps the individual with depression, it does this and that, but they've never backed up. Or maybe they haven't suppressed it. I mean, that wouldn't surprise anyone, would it? But have they ever backed up and looked at the group effect as far as, because we know that every one of these mass shootings and all that, those people are all on those psychotropics. So, you know, it all ties in with what we're talking about on the whole, whether they're editing genes or changing emotional states or changing social interaction. It's all about the destruction of God's handiwork.
Yeah, you got to remember too, though, that God created, like you said, male and female, and there's only two groups of people that can reproduce, and that's a male and a female. So any of these other genders that they try to create, the gay, lesbian, transgender, soon to be pedophile, you know, the, most people don't understand that all of the pedophiles are queer, homosexual. And, but, let's see, where was I going with that? Yeah, so basically it's a population, it's a form of population control too, and the thing parents need to understand, and this seems to be a pretty good wake-up call, is when you tell them that, look, these people cannot reproduce, they recruit.
Right.
And they want to recruit your children. And when you realize that, when you understand that they are an enemy to you, your morals, God's morals, and your family, then you might have some righteous indignation towards these people instead of defending them. Now, I'm not saying that we're not to try to get them to turn from their wicked ways, but you know one scripture that most people hate and is Ezekiel 3:17-19, and I love that scripture. That's a great scripture, but bottom line is, if you see someone living wickedly and you don't tell them to turn from their wicked ways because you're acceptant and tolerant under the guise of grace, well, the Bible's pretty clear that if that person, or when that person dies, because they will die in their sin,
yes,
their blood's on you. But if you warn them to turn from their wicked ways, if you warn them that there is a hell, that's basically what the point of this series that the Lord's got me on right now, and they don't turn from their wicked ways, then their blood is on them. And that's something that we need to realize as Christians, especially in this last, you know, 11th and three-quarter hour. I try to tell that to some of these people who are all about Jesus loves me and everyone's going to heaven and everything else. And they're like, well, yeah, but you have to have that love, you know, the love. And I said, well, what about if the time for the love of Jesus is not over, but it's time to warn people of the repercussions of the lie. And they don't want to hear that. They just don't want to hear the truth.
That's a fact. I love the way Pastor used to say, well, don't blame me, it's in the Bible. There it is, take a look.
That's right.
I didn't write it.
Yep. And how many times have we heard how many times have we heard our pastors, you know, say over the years that you may love that sweet talking, smooth, buttery speech of that feel good, Jesus loves you pastor now. You may love that now, but what are you going to do at the end of it? You're going to hate him on judgment day when he's led you down that wrong path, when he's told you what you wanted to hear. You know, so many of the pastor's teachings were along that line. You know, just like go to the church of your choice. See, that's how it is. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to, you are supposed to, you know, join the church, the fellowship, and go, and that's where you get your reproof. That's where you get your rebuke. That's where you go find out, and, you know, that, hey, these thoughts I've had aren't proper. This that I've been doing isn't right. That, you know, that's where you go and find out and hear the biblical teaching and hear these words like you quoted there, John, from Ezekiel. That and like we read in Corinthians, do not be deceived. You know, the ungodly, the immoral, they do not inherit the kingdom. But it is so changed today that it's even the churches are just, God loves you. And what you do is okay. There's nothing you can do. God did it all. And it's just a false gospel that is put out to the people. You know, this brotherhood of man and all the unity is not what we read in the Scripture. It's not. All Scripture is for our learning, for our reproof, for our rebuke. And, you know, be not deceived. The ungodly, those that, and it was brought up, I think, in the last week or two at church, that, you know, there, that line, there's a line being defined between those who worship God and those that don't. Those that honor God, those that obey God, and those that don't. And we are seeing those times come upon us. We might not see, you know, crazy old Noah out here building an ark. But the days of Noah, I think, are among us, upon us. You know, the ark that's there now, it's not that, it's not a physical ark. It is a spiritual. It is that power of God to protect His people and to deliver His people from these times.
Well, yeah, you can even see, we talked about it in a message a couple weeks ago or something, but bottom line is the demon rat party is specifically appealing to the religiously unaffiliated demographic. And so what they're saying is that they realize that their greatest source of support is in those that don't know God or hate God and His people. And that's significant if you think about it, the fact that they put that as their platform. We talked about how in 2012 they basically voted to remove God from the platform, but they had enough sense left in the party at that point to overrule those antichrists who've infiltrated the party. And but now there's no hiding it. There's no common sense left, and it's kind of, I don't know, it's almost like, well, we know that there's a spell in the land, and those of us that understand it's a spiritual warfare, good versus evil. But you talk to these kids that are so-called educated, and all I can see is the fact that the more higher education they go for, you know, whether it's a doctorate or a PhD or whatever it is, all they're really doing is educating them away from God. These kids start to, they question everything that they were brought up in. They question God, and it's by design, and it's really sad. I don't know what the percentage is, but I would say that there's a huge percentage of people who were brought up Christian, you know, train up a child in the way it should go, and when they become older, they won't depart from it. But there are so many forces, demonic forces and spells and witchcraft being used, in, especially in the higher education, that it's if you don't have praying parents, if you're not, you know, battling in the spiritual realm, too many of them are being lost.
Amen. Well, it goes back to Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And if you take that away, then there is no beginning. And if there's no beginning of knowledge, there's no middle of knowledge, there's no end of knowledge, there is no, you know, and our enemy understands that. And they call it knowledge, they call it what, wisdom and higher learning and, you know, what our pastor called it, piled higher and deeper, right? But you're right, you're absolutely right, John, the more education these people get away from the fear of the Lord, then the stupider they get, the dumber they get. What is it Hosea 4:6 tells us? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And that knowledge begins with the fear of the Lord. So our enemy, they don't talk about the fear of the Lord. You know, they talk about a loving God that loves and loves and loves. But what have they done? They have taken the fear of the Lord away. And they know that by doing that, they take the knowledge away. And that's where we are. That is where we are with these.
Yeah.
We talk about it, these generations, but it continues on and on.
Yeah, the enemy's becoming more bold and brazen by the day, pretty much. But, you know, we've talked for the last year or so about the Arch of Pantheon, the Arch of Baal that's been recreated and erected in several large cities across the country. But here, just recently, they set the statue of Moloch right in front of the Colosseum in Rome. And if you understand what Moloch was obviously the sacrifice of children, much similar to what is going on with the abortion industry today. But it's interesting that they put that right at the front of the entrance into the Colosseum, and the Christians who you know and understand their Bible that go by it, they can understand the significance of it, because those Colosseums is where they basically were putting the Christians to death, you know, in the Colosseums back in that day. And I just think it's interesting how bold and brazen they've become. We talked about a couple weeks ago, too, how, I forget where it was, but basically there was a bunch of pagan statues that were set up in the church somewhere in the Amazon or something, and how the people who knew and understood their Bible were outraged, and they understood what was going on, that it was false religion, and the Pope was basically approving of it all, blessing it and everything else, and they took matters into their own hands and went into the temple and took the pagan statues and threw them into the Tiber River, I guess it was. But I guess the point is there used to be some fear of God. There used to be some shame in some of the things that they would do outright against God or against God's people. And that shame appears to be gone. And it goes right back to what Jason started out the program with this morning, is this gene altering, the fact that they want to become God.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Remnant, if you're not familiar with what John's talking about, if you're not familiar with the Arch of Baal, if you're not familiar with that, John, I think you mention one time, you mentioned that in your prayer breakfast, and men that were going to church, didn't they think that was just another name for God? Didn't you mention that one time?
Yeah.
And so, Remnant, you may not be familiar with that term, Baal. If you haven't, and if you're not, that's okay, because right now there's still time. Pastor did a great book, and it's called Baal Worship. Baal Worship in America. And so if you're not familiar with that, I encourage you to get the book. We will make that book available to you for any donation. Wherever you're at, whatever you can do, you send us a donation, we will send you, and you ask for that book, Baal Worship. Drop us a note and just say you want to know more about Baal Worship and ask for the book, and we will send it to you. Because it lays it out right there with Scripture, but showing biblically what Baal worship is. I think that that statue of Molech you're talking about, that is a type of Baal worship. It is in the land today. It is prevalent. And if you don't understand that, if you don't have that knowledge, you stand a greater chance of being destroyed, as the Bible says, that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So if you're not 100% on Baal and on what that is, contact us. You know, we're on the web, scriptures4america.org. You can order it right there. You can call the office, and we'll send you one out. But it is a great book. It's an I'll call it an easy read. It is deep as all get out, but it is, you know, when you ask, the Bible says it'll be given to you. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be opened. And this is a door that needs to be opened, as far as the people coming to understand. You mentioned that statue of Moloch again in the Colosseum in Rome. That is where they killed the Christians for sport. For sport. You know, not many people remember, because again, the knowledge has been taken away. But it wasn't all just the gladiator games. It wasn't just fun and you know, like Sunday afternoon football. Not at all. Not at all. It is in the Colosseums is where they brought the Christians and fed them to the lions for sport, and the people cheered. And that was the thought that occurred to me, John, when you mentioned that, was you know, getting preparing for that again is what the enemy is doing. They are preparing for that again. But I hold that the enemy will fall into the pit they dig. I think we've seen that in our political parties the last 3 years, that they have done that very thing, that they have fallen into the pit that they have dug, that the accusations that they make, they throw it out there and hope it will stick, and it comes back and is brought to light that, you know, what they, the curses that they try to put out, they're coming back on them. It is this latest impeachment farce circus that is coming out. I saw a quote from a Democrat. From a Democrat regarding it, and the quote he said was, "Well, my constituents' attitude towards this impeachment has changed." Now he hasn't had time to you know, go and talk to his constituents, the people that he so calls represents, but he sees the handwriting on the wall that everything that they're trying is not working. Headlines this morning were Democrats have nothing regarding this impeachment on President Trump, and they know it. And it is, and it's just one more. This is just the latest. And John, you brought it out time and time again at church and on the radio of the attacks that started right after our president was elected. And it's because they know they cannot win the next election. And they know their time is drawing short, and so they are pulling out all the stops. And it is anything goes, and they are just throwing stuff left and right, fishing, you might say, and it's just coming back on them time and time again.
But they're playing upon the stupidity of America today too, and they're playing upon, you know, the great numbers of those who have believed the lie and turned over to their side. The fact that they won the House back here a couple years ago was basically the bombardment of constant lies regarding the Russia hoax with the president. You know, a lot of people believe that. It still kind
That's
of
right.
amazes me today that anyone could even consider supporting any one of the Democrat candidates today when you look into the history and what they stand for. But, you know, it's time to just lay it on the line, and I have laid it on the line, and anyone who considers themselves a Democrat, the Democrat Party isn't the old Democrat Party. The old Democrat Party, when I grew up, was basically pro-union. That was the big difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. But the Democrat Party today has evolved into an Antichrist Party. It's good versus evil, period. And, you know, the lines are drawn. The time has come. Choose ye this day who you shall serve. You want to serve Baal? Like you said, Baal's the false god. Then go ahead. But as for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. And, but, you know, the Bible also says that if we love Jesus, the world will hate us. And the fact that if you're not being persecuted in your personal life, or specifically churches, then you're not doing enough, period.
That's right.
People don't like to hear that, but that's the God's honest truth.
That's right. We're told, be not conformed.
And we're not even doing enough. I'll be the first to admit, we're not doing enough either, you know.
That's all we can do.
Yeah. We're told to be not conformed to this world. And unfortunately, so many have forgotten that, and it's not that we purposely go out and draw lines. We purposefully go out and try to offend that type of thing. No, but it's what the enemy does. The ungodly are drawing the lines. The ungodly are you know, they continue. That rebellion to God continues to push and push and push. It's never satisfied. And it does. It just continues to remain in rebellion and add more and more and more and continue to rebel against God. And that's what we're faced with today. You're either for him or against him. And when you look at the political parties, you have a political party that voted to remove God from anything and everything that their political party had to do with. And you have a different, not all of the different political party, but at least you have some on the other side that are not ashamed to pray in Jesus' name. That are not ashamed to, you know, to do all they can to stop abortion. To let it be known of the horrors and that abortion is. And those are just a couple of examples. And so it really is. It's by their fruits. By their fruits you shall know them.
Yeah, you see, Chick-fil-A's in the news an awful lot these days. First stories were basically that they were no longer going to support Fellowship of Christian Athletes or Salvation Army, basically because they speak out publicly against the LGBTQ and the destruction that it's causing to our families and to society. And but, you know, it's what I've heard. It continues to escalate. So you wonder who's running that organization these days. I guarantee it's somebody different than that used to run the organization. But now, I read an article the other day that they're actually supporting the Southern Poverty Law Center. And if you know what that is, I mean, actually, they've been exposed and pretty much decimated by the truth that's come out. Our pastor exposed that Morris Dees a long time ago regarding what he is and what his purpose is. Jason might be able to elaborate a little bit more on that regarding the Southern Poverty Law Center. But there's obviously something's changed at the helm of Chick-fil-A, and I think that's probably one that we need to maybe take a stand against as well.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, exactly. And then Southern Poverty Law Center too. I think that it's gained a lot of, it's lost a lot of credibility over the last couple of years too. I mean, there's a lot of people that basically, it's the organization that was out there that was basically saying and putting the list out on who the terrorists were and who the Antichrist were and you know, so on and so forth. And over the last several years, there's a lot of people that just laugh at them and you know, that don't want to have anything to do with them, including a lot of sheriff's departments, police departments that, you know, used to be, that's one of the jobs of what the Southern Poverty Law Center was founded for, was to notify and to keep local law enforcement agencies, sheriff's departments, police departments, state patrols up to speed on hate crimes that were happening in their area and across the globe. And, you know, they've lost a lot of credibility, so that, you know, praise God for that.
Absolutely. Yeah, they've even gone into some of the re-education off of the Southern Poverty Law Center's training groups, because they used to send training groups out to various state and federal enforcement agencies, you know, to help them identify and locate and shut those guys down or minimize their message, you know, and teach them how to watch it. And now they're doing some, I guess you'd call it, retraining on that because of the issues that have come up with the Southern Poverty Law Center.
And before we run out of time, too, I was going to tell people, you know, next year is, you know, we just had, you know, Thanksgiving, celebrated Thanksgiving on Thursday, and, you know, wanted to tell everybody happy Thanksgiving out there. And, you know, that's, it's, it's even becoming, you know, Thanksgiving this year was even attacked, just like Columbus Day was attacked, because, you know, it's a white man's holiday, and it's, you know, so on and so forth. And they did, they tried to do their part to attack Thanksgiving, and that's one of our people's holidays, you know, and it encouraged people to, you know, it's no matter what they say, it's got Christian roots, and I think that's why they hate it. It's a white Christian holiday,
yes,
and they hate it. You know, next year we're going to be coming on the, up on the 400-year anniversary of the landing of the Mayflower in 1620. You know, that's going to be kind of exciting. It's hard to believe that it's been 400 years. But did want to tell everybody out there happy Thanksgiving and, you know, encourage people. We got a track that's called Thanksgiving, the True Story. And Dad did a couple messages on there that we've got available on CD and just fantastic information on there, you know, I encourage people to get that, to pass it out, because as Thanksgiving is being attacked, you know, we need to tell the true story about Thanksgiving. And we don't have time to go into it right now, but, you know, it was our people, it was our forefathers that, you know, started those Plymouth colonies. And, you know, we've got much to be thankful for. We've been talking about a lot of the things that are happening in our land, but, you know, I mean, you stop and you think about the price that was paid for our salvation and for our families, and you know, you look at the world and the way things are. It's, you know, it's grateful and thankful to be not part of that, you know, and that's one of the things that I was so thankful for. And you know, you got to remember it from time to time, is, you know, the price that was paid for our sins, you know, so that we can be free of sin. So when we stand before that throne of the Most High, you know, we can, you know, guilty as charged, but the blood of Jesus Christ set me free. And, you know, being able to walk in that and being able to share that, too, with others is, you know, just an awesome privilege that's been given to us. So I encourage people to, you know, to be thankful for what they have. It's sometimes you don't have to look very far. You get down in the dumps and you want this and you want that and you want to get this done and you want to get that done. And, you know, it, you don't have to look very far. You start looking around and start counting your blessings, and it just will change your attitude in a real quick minute.
Amen. Amen.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, we are out of time. Do want to remind everyone we have church tomorrow. We welcome you. You're welcome to come to church with us. You can do that at scriptures4america.org and click on the live video stream, and we'll have a little bit of everything for you. But it gives you an opportunity to gather with the saints, with like-minded Christians, and to worship Jesus Christ in truth and in spirit. So we welcome you there. Guys, thanks for joining us. Remnant, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out.
Snake hide.
Move it, move it, move it. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their steak hide. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.